It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
China crackdown. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. A U.S. senator has authored a bill to make Beijing pay for unleashing coronavirus on the rest of the world.
Without the Chinese Communist Party deception, you would not have 60-something thousand dead Americans and 30 million people out of work.
That's South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
So I'm going to introduce sanctions Thursday that will sanction China until they cooperate with us to determine how the virus came about. It is now time to push back against China.
Chinese state media today calling our Secretary of State Mike Pompeo evil for suggesting there is enormous evidence that COVID-19 leaked from a lab in Wuhan. The U.S. Senate is back in session for the first time since March, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
And we are going to show up for work like the essential workers that we are. Our bosses are the American people, and they're counting on us to keep on serving.
If we are going to make these fine people come into work in these conditions, let the Senate at least conduct the nation's business and focus like a laser on COVID-19.
That's Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York. The House is not in session this week. Speaker Pelosi says it's just not safe. I spoke to Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson earlier today. Many people would argue that you, Congressman, are an essential worker and should be in Washington. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree 100% with that. I would never claim the title of essential, but I do believe we have a duty and an elected constitutional responsibility to be doing our work in Washington.
Yeah, and some would say, well, the Senate's in session. Why can't the House be there, too? So we'll leave that debate there and come back to it later, GT. But one other question real quickly. This is so important this week. On May 8th, 24 counties in your state will go from red to yellow, according to the governor's color-coded comeback plan. But a lot of people are not happy with the secret way the governor is doing this, how some businesses are granted waivers and others are not. Your thoughts on Governor Wolf, the administration's plans for bringing Pennsylvania back to life?
Well, you know what? I think that happens anytime we put too much power in one branch of government. It's like we no longer have a separation of power or a balance of power. And I have grave concerns about that. Governor Wolf, a lot of what he's doing is not very transparent. Constitutional rights are being stepped on.
Yeah.
And it's like we always say how important they are, but only until there's some crisis like this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we throw them out.
Yeah, a lot of this smacks of tyranny. It just does not sound American, a lot of what's going on right now. It's almost Gestapo-like.
Well, and if you've gone online and looked at Governor Wolf's form that he has under COVID-19, where you can report on your family members, your boss, neighbors, perfect strangers, because you don't feel comfortable that they've taken the right measures and they're exposing you to COVID-19. It's like Nazi Germany.
That's Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson speaking to Family Life News earlier today. New York State reporting more than 1,700 previously undisclosed deaths at nursing homes and adult care facilities, all of these linked to the virus. The state facing scrutiny over how it protects vulnerable residents from the bug. Nearly 5,000 nursing home patients have died in New York since the 1st of March. Coronavirus outbreaks have hit the meat industry hard. That's led to fears of a possible shortage at the grocery store. Meat industry expert Dennis Smith.
I think you will start seeing spot shortages in various parts of the country very soon.
Costco, Kroger, Wegmans all limiting purchases of beef, chicken, and pork due to the pandemic. Some Wendy's restaurants have taken meat off the menu. The debate over how soon is too soon to open up America is alive and well. Patients wearing thin in many parts of the country.
If I'm going to get sick, I'll get sick. And if I get it, I'll get over it.
More than half of America is at least partially reopened.
We got to get back to work or the catastrophic effects are just going to be too much for us to handle.
And the tempers are flaring out there. In Michigan, three people charged charged with killing a security guard after a dispute with a customer over a face mask at a Family Dollar store. That happened in Flint, Michigan. Just as more businesses come to life, there are stark predictions about death. Experts predict the COVID-19 death toll could surge in the coming weeks.
This rise of mobility in the last week or 10 days is likely leading to some increased transmission.
Chris Murray at the University of Washington, which put out a computer model that's predicting 3,000 daily COVID-19 deaths by the 1st of June. That's nearly double the current level. President Trump at the White House this morning accused Democrats of playing politics with the pandemic.
They don't want us to succeed. They want us to fail so they can win an election, which they're not going to win. Think of it. They do everything they can to make things as bad as possible. And right now, the stock market's way up. Everybody's excited. They're going back to work safely, but they're going back to work. We're opening up our country again.
The president at the White House earlier today, he's on the road now, his first trip outside of D.C. in many weeks. Mr. Trump's headed to Phoenix, Arizona, to tour a facility that makes masks for healthcare workers. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, he will be testifying before the U.S. Senate soon about COVID-19. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says there are a lot of questions still unanswered.
Well, look, we still have a high level of infection in this country. We've reached a plateau, but we haven't seen the kind of declines that we were expecting to see at this point. And as we start to reopen the country, cases are likely to go up, not down.
A presidential spokesman defends the plan to reopen America as a science-driven approach, supported by the government's top health experts. Much more ahead on today's Noon Report. Criteria for reopening. We'll take a closer look. Christian prayers for Muslims. And live baseball is back. We'll tell you where after the break.
Good afternoon to all. We're looking at a cool pattern that will grow cooler heading toward Mother's Day weekend. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin. Very interesting weather we are having of late. New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo laying out four phases for the state's reopening. He says some regions of New York will open sooner than others.
If upstate has to wait for downstate to be ready, they're going to be waiting a long time.
The first phase impacts construction, manufacturing, and select retail stores.
They are the most essential with the lowest risk. Second phase, professional services, retail, administrative support, real estate.
The third is restaurants and hotels.
Fourth, arts, entertainment, recreation, education.
The rate of infection, hospital capacity, testing capacity, and tracing capacity will be keys to a region's reopening.
Reopening is more difficult than the close down.
New York starts to hit the unpause button next Friday, May 15th. Pennsylvania's COVID-19 comeback plan starts this Friday in 24 counties. They're moving from red to yellow in the governor's comeback plan. Health Secretary Rachel Levine.
In the yellow zones, the right thing to do is to continue to practice social distancing and to continue to wear a mask when you're in public.
Northwestern and North Central Pennsylvania will open first, though social distancing restrictions will remain in place. A judge has been asked to rule on the constitutionality of New York's decision to cancel the Democratic presidential primary next month. This Democratic activist thinks that was the wrong move.
Postponing it is not out of the question, but just canceling it outright, it's really doing a number on people's right to express their, you know, their vote.
The Democratic members of the state's Board of Elections voted to cancel the presidential primary, even though New York still plans to hold its congressional and state-level primaries on June 23rd. The Pennsylvania primary is less than a month away now, and with mail-in voting now an option for the first time, the governor is urging residents to take advantage of this new way to cast a ballot.
This allows voters to make their choices from the safety of their own home, then send in their ballot through the mail. It just has to be returned by 8 p.m. on Election Day.
Registered voters in Pennsylvania have until May 26 to send in an application for a mail-in ballot. Nearly 1 million state residents have already done that. The Pennsylvania primary is June 2nd. A Pennsylvania House member accuses the governor of a lack of transparency in his COVID crisis plan. His comments causing fireworks at a House hearing in Harrisburg. Take a listen.
Chairman, this is outrageous. Stop it with these Nazi
references.
It's a
statement
of history. Offensive and wrong. Stop it.
It's history.
Jefferson County Republican Chris Dush says the governor's management of the state resembles a page out of a socialist playbook.
This governor has been listed as the most liberal governor in the United States. And it's important for the people of this state to start having access to information.
Dush wants information on the protocol that Governor Wolf uses for letting some businesses reopen while others remain closed. Public parks in Steuben County, New York, reopened today. Playgrounds and pavilions still off limits. County Manager Jack Wheeler urging residents to practice appropriate social distancing even while in the great outdoors. At a bipartisan efforts underway to open up the real estate market in Pennsylvania, State Senator Bob Mensch hosted a hearing online yesterday.
Pennsylvania is the only state in the nation that has not opened real estate sales. Can you explain the rationale?
Governor Wolf's banned real estate activity except for transactions that started before the pandemic. Republicans argue the real estate industry is an essential industry and someone's ability to have a home is life-sustaining. Sports is next. NFL news in the two-minute drill. Here's Sonny Delfiet.
Thank you, Bob. In keeping with its plans of playing a full season and starting in September amid the pandemic, the NFL will reveal the 2020 schedule Thursday night with a three-hour broadcast on the NFL Network. Among the most notable matchups set to take place will be the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs heading to Baltimore to face the Ravens, who recorded the league's best record in 2019 at 14-2. That game will feature the last two league MVPs and quarterbacks Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. The NFC side will be highlighted by the defending champion San Francisco 49ers hosting the Green Bay Packers in a rematch of last season's conference title game. Though it plans for the season to begin on time, the NFL has yet to decide whether early season games will have fans in attendance. The schedule will not include any games outside of the U.S. this season, as the NFL has moved the five regular season contests that were scheduled for London and Mexico City back to the stadiums of the host teams. The NHL still taking its time to make a decision on the draft. According to TSN, the league could decide this week or next whether to go ahead. The NHL may opt to use rules from 2012 for the draft lottery, where only the bottom five teams will be eligible to earn the top overall pick. Baseball is back on TV. ESPN has reached an agreement to air six regular season games per week of South Korea's KBL Baseball League. The league kicked off early this morning, a game between the NC Dinos and the Samsung Lions, but without crowds in attendance, a little confusion on a home run.
Didn't see the bat flip there, though, my friend. Yes, we did have a home run. That is a home run.
Carl Ravage, Eduardo Perez, John Ciambi, Jessica Mendoza, and Cal Peterson broadcasting the games in English for American viewers. And the Big Ten Conference has extended the suspension of all organized team activities until June 1st. The conference originally postponed spring sports and on- and off-campus recruiting in mid-March. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiet.
All right, Sonny, thank you kindly. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, we'll tell you about a ruling on religious gatherings in Kentucky. President Trump is on the road again in Arizona, and how one teacher is making a difference in Jamestown.
You might know that Muslims around the world are marking the season of Ramadan, but did you know how many Christians around the world are praying for them right now? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. This year, April 24th, marked the first day of Ramadan, considered the holiest period of the Muslim calendar. For 1 month, Muslims around the world fast from sunup to sundown, and many perform additional spiritual disciplines. to commemorate the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. Like the observances of Easter and Passover already this year, Ramadan too has been affected by COVID-19. Traditionally, the post-sundown meal is a communal affair, which many Muslim families share together at a mosque. This year, they cannot. And another dimension is that in some areas, many Muslims work in healthcare and are thus essential employees. For example, in Michigan, Muslims are 15% of the doctors there, despite being less than 3% of the population. What this means is that many Muslims are caring for COVID-19 victims during this fast. Every Ramadan, but especially one in the midst of a pandemic, is a good time to keep our Muslim neighbors and Muslims around the world in prayer. After all, this is the time where many Muslims are seeking to hear from God. And for the last several decades, God has been breaking through to so many Muslims through dreams and the reading of Holy Scripture and via other Muslim converts to point them to Christ. In fact, since 1993, the 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World Prayer Guide has equipped Christians to pray for Muslims during this time of Ramadan. This international movement calls on the church to make a deliberate but respectful effort to learn about, pray for, and reach out to our world's Muslim neighbors. Started by Christians during Ramadan because Muslims are much more deeply aware of spiritual matters at this time, the 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World equips Christians around the world to pray informed prayers. Stories describe the differences in Muslim life, thought, and practice in different parts of the world. The guide includes everything from the plights of seekers and converts to Christianity in Muslim-dominated regions to the differences between Shia and Sunni to the questions your Muslim neighbor is most likely to ask, to helpful statistical data about where the world's 1.8 billion Muslims are found throughout the world. We'll link you to their downloadable prayer booklet, including a version they have for kids, at breakpoint.org. A few years ago, I spoke with Southern Baptist missiologist Dr. Dave Garrison, the author of a book called A Wind in the House of Islam, on our podcast. The book describes an unprecedented movement of Muslims to the Christian faith since the early 1990s. Garrison traveled the world speaking to former Muslims about how God had brought them to faith in Christ. He also studied the so-called hotspots, those regions where thousands of Muslims were coming to Christ within a geographic region and a relatively close time frame. Garrison found that in the 1400 years since Muhammad founded Islam, there have been 82 movements of Muslims turning to Christ, which he defined as 1,000 or more Muslims in an area being baptized. About 80% of those movements have happened in the last 30 years. In Garrison's words, we're seeing a moment in salvation history that we've never seen before in the history of Christianity's interaction with the House of Islam. We're seeing that movement, by the way, in about the same time frame that Christians have been praying with this 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World Prayer Guide. It's not too late to start, by the way. Come to breakpoint.org and follow the link to the downloadable prayer booklet, 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Thank you very much, John. Uncommon cold are the weather watchwords for the next few days. Kev's got your forecast next. Here is your Family Life weather forecast. For this afternoon, sun and clouds, high temperatures 40s and low 50s. Rather cloudy tonight. Late tonight into tomorrow, some rain in Pennsylvania. Wet snow mixing with some accumulations over the highest ground of west central Pennsylvania. Low tonight, 30s. High tomorrow, 40s. Thursday, clouds, some sun with later day showers and high temperatures in the 50s.
All right, Kevin, keeping us in the know from the Weather Center. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for being with us. Here's what's going on this Tuesday, the 5th day of May. President Trump on the road today as the number of COVID-19 deaths in this country approaches 70,000. He's on his way to Arizona for one of the only trips he's made outside D.C. in many, many weeks. The president will be visiting a plant in Phoenix that makes masks for first responders. The chairwoman of the president's coronavirus task force commenting on those new projections, which show a sharp spike in the number of COVID-19 casualties in the coming days. The White House is taking issue with this report, saying it is unsubstantiated. Dr. Deborah Birx tells Family Life.
Our projections have always been between 100 and 240,000 American lives lost, and that's with full mitigation and us learning from each other of how to social distance.
America's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is rejecting the theory that coronavirus was created in a Chinese laboratory. He says the evidence points to a virus that evolved in nature and then jumped from an animal to humans. Dr. Fauci will be testifying before a U.S. Senate panel soon. Secretary of State Pompeo says there's enormous evidence that coronavirus was leaked from a lab in China. California Governor Gavin Newsom says more businesses will be allowed to get back to business this coming Friday.
As early as the end of this week, you will have the capacity as a retailer to begin to reopen for pickup. Clothing, bookstores, music, toys, sporting goods stores, florists.
California, like New York, instituting a four-stage reopening plan. A massive protest in Boston yesterday. Demonstrators demanded the governor reopen the Massachusetts economy.
Hey, ho, ho, end the shutdown now. Hey, hey, ho, ho, end the shutdown.
Hundreds rallied in Beantown against stay-at-home orders. In Flint, Michigan, a security guard has been shot and killed after turning a customer away for trying to enter a Family Dollar store without a mask. Three suspects taken into custody. That security guard was a father of nine children. Some Wendy's restaurants are taking meat off the menu. Customers at Wendy's in California, South Carolina, and Kentucky were shocked to learn they couldn't order burgers at the drive-thru.
Where's the beef?
That's what a lot of people are asking. That meat shortage has many remembering the famous Wendy's catchphrase from the 1980s. Here's reporter Vicky Gwynn.
It comes as more grocery chains are limiting how much customers can buy. With more and more empty shelves, Kroger now says it will limit ground beef and poultry purchases in some of its stores. And Costco is restricting fresh beef, pork, and poultry items to three per customer.
Fears of a meat shortage come as dozens of meat packing plants reel from COVID-19 outbreaks at their facilities. A federal judge has ruled on the constitutionality of three people attending a church service in Kentucky, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, I guess. Well, anyway, the trio filed suit challenging Governor Andy Beshear's ban on mass gatherings. Yesterday, a U.S. district judge ruled the ban on mass gatherings does not specifically suppress religious expression. That group that filed suit argued the ban unfairly singled out religious gatherings. A highway patrol trooper got the surprise of his lifetime yesterday when he pulled over the driver of an SUV on an interstate in Ogden, Utah. Rick Morgan says he could not believe what he saw.
It was pretty clear when the window came down. Was not expecting to find what I found.
What he found was a five-year-old boy behind the wheel. That kid took off in the family car saying he was going to California to buy a Lamborghini with the $3 in his pocket. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, teachers have been thrust into an unprecedented situation with schools closed from coast to coast. Online learning, the name of the game now. Well, today is their day. It is National Teacher Appreciation Day, a day to thank those educators everywhere for the support they give and continue to give to students even while at home. We love our school teachers. Keep up the great work. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Bethany Seastrom from Bemis Point, New York. She's leading an online effort to adopt seniors on Facebook. I know a lot of communities are doing things to kind of reach out
to their graduating class during this health crisis. The adoption effort here on social media, why was this effort launched, Bethany?
Well, we launched this effort to honor our kids who are missing out on the remainder of their school year and all those special things that go along with it. We just wanted to show them that we as a community support our seniors and they are not forgotten.
Was this your idea?
Well, I've seen some of these out there before. I'm actually involved in another group. But a friend of mine, Jennifer McPherson, she had reached out to me with some information on one that she had seen. Mm-hmm. And so she gave me that information and we just ran with it. We said we need to do one for our kids as well.
Yeah. So it's been going for a couple weeks here, this adoption effort. And what's the response been like, Bethany?
This response has been so amazing. I think it's just been better than I could have ever imagined. As you know, we live in a very supportive community and people just want to give back in any way they can. And the outpouring of love and support for our kids has, it's just been incredible.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a senior this year at Maple Grove?
I do. My middle daughter,
okay,
Anna Claire,
right,
is graduating.
Yeah. So, how is she doing with all of this?
Doing fairly well given the current situation. You know, it's not ideal, but she's making the best of it. And, you know, I think as for everything, there's good days and there's bad days.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be tough for kids to kind of forfeit their senior year. And as a parent of a senior, how are you handling all of this?
I think it's harder for most of the parents than it is on the children. You know, we know that their lockers are sitting the same way that they left them in March when they left the school for the last time. They have sports jerseys hanging, not being used, and prom dresses hanging. And I mean, it's harder for us, I think. You know, not only are the kids missing out on important milestones, but the parents are as well.
Yeah. For an extrovert like myself, this has been tough to do, to stay away from people. When this is all behind us, and it eventually will be behind us, what are some of the biggest lessons, I guess, we can take away from this?
Oh, you know, I think we're all very resilient, and we will bounce back. And I think it's made us better. We're adapting to our situations. You know, whether we like it or not, we just got to go through the motions. And when we're on the other side of this, you know, we'll all be better for it, I think.
Yeah. Don't take the small things for granted anymore. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Not going to take a hug for granted anymore.
Oh, no. I can't. I'm a hugger, so I can't wait to get out there and just hug people.
Yeah. This has been tough for sure. So, well, Bethany Seastrom, it's a neat idea, a way to kind of connect with our seniors and include the community and love on them because, you know, it's all about the kids. And they're going to be okay because of this, but this definitely, no one saw this coming for sure. So
no, yeah. No. Well, thank you so much.
Yes,
you know, thanks,
Bethany,
for highlighting our kids.
Bethany Seastrom from Bemis Point, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, great stuff, Bill. Love to hear those positive stories that are happening even in the midst of this pandemic. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report. You can also listen online anytime. Just go to fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure bringing us the cool, dry weather will give way to low pressure. That'll generate some rain later tonight and tomorrow for those of you in Pennsylvania. Even some snow in the high ground across west central Pennsylvania. A cold front will arrive Thursday with some rain showers later in the day and tonight. Very chilly air follows it. And low pressure forming on the front could cause rain to change to a wet snow later Friday and Friday night, leaving us with a very chilly Mother's Day weekend. For this afternoon, sun and clouds, high temperatures 40s and low 50s. Rather cloudy tonight. Late tonight into tomorrow, some rain in Pennsylvania. Wet snow mixing with some accumulations over the highest ground of west central Pennsylvania. Low tonight, 30s. High tomorrow, 40s. Thursday, clouds, some sun with later day showers and high temperatures in the 50s.
All right, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. And finally at noon, as Sonny mentioned in sports just a little while ago, baseball's back, but not here. In South Korea.
First pitch of opening day.
The Korean baseball organization called the KBO got out of the batter's box. Yesterday afternoon, the games were broadcast on ESPN.
That is a home run. Nobody seemed to react at all. There obviously is no crowd.
Live baseball in Korea, the first professional games anywhere on the planet. Jeff Passan is a baseball analyst for ESPN.
The fact that they're playing it all, I think, gives us hope here that we are going to see baseball at some point this year.
Umpires and many of the players wore masks there in South Korea, where there were cardboard cutouts of fans in the stands, not the real ones, and no high fives allowed either. They're practicing social distancing as well as they can there, but they're playing ball again. Live baseball in Korea. A sign of better days ahead. And that's the world we live in, Tuesday, May the 5th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.